Now, you cannot look at that passage of Scripture, and really both of those passages of Scripture, without those things that we deal with within our current life, our contemporary life, being echoed. It touches on a lot of what we deal with in our daily basis. The issues of fertility that we talked about last week, for sure. The issues of judging people based upon certain categories. She was able to have a baby. That's great. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? Certainly the issues of, the dreadful things that are happening because people are who they are. The violence that we see in the Middle East right now, the heartbreaking violence against women and children and people who are, in harm's way because they did not place themselves there. Even the geography of what I just described inside of this reading is rooted in very real places right now that are on both sides of the lines of conflict. It reminds me in some ways that the kinds of things that we encounter in Scripture, the things that we work our way through, actually do speak and have something to say to us about the things that are going on in our lives right now. Sometimes the argument is, that's thousands of years ago in a different culture, in multiple different languages. What really do we do other than, to make some sort of passing memory of it? But the reality is, there's stuff here for us right now. I hope that this is part of it today. Now, when Mary and Elizabeth discover that they are pregnant, they have to be confronted with, oh my goodness, what does this mean? Now, I personally have never been pregnant. But I've had the privilege to journey with people in that, and it's life-changing. Some of you know this very, very well. It creates a great deal of stress and anxiety, of anticipation, of worry. Oh my goodness, what has happened here? What is going to happen to me? And not only that, but Elizabeth is in a weird place because she is so old. What does that mean? There has to be a cultural and kind of local understanding of older mothers don't do as well, particularly at this particular time in life and in this particular society where there's no hospitals and there are midwives, but they're not necessarily, kind of board certified. Right. And then Mary is under the threat of death. Legitimately. She could very easily have been rejected by Joseph, or there could be, stoning. So, goodness gracious, there is something really intense happening to both of these women. So they learn under these miraculous circumstances that they are pregnant. And then, Elizabeth starts to try to make sense of this. What's happening here? And then here comes Mary. Mary makes a very long journey. I don't know if you tracked with the geography here, but she gets on a donkey and makes a long trip. Okay. And she makes it to Judean hillsides where she finds Zechariah and Elizabeth, and she doesn't wait around. Did you notice how quickly she hops onto that donkey? It says that as soon as Gabriel shuts up, she is on the road. And reaches out to Elizabeth. She couldn't reach her by phone. Reaches out to Elizabeth, and there is this amazing moment of joy when they are together. Why? Because they needed to figure things out. And they did that together. They did that in connection with each other. In fact, what you see happens is Elizabeth says, "This is amazing. Why are you here? I'm so glad you're here. How am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would show up? My baby is dancing inside because of your being here." And then Mary burst into song. This is the opera version, the light opera version of this. But seriously, Mary begins to sing what the Lord is about to do. And it's powerful. That song of Mary, you should read. We'll get to it. But it is profound in what it says about who Jesus is and what Jesus will do and what is about to happen next. Okay? They had to be with each other to figure out what is about to happen. How are we going to make sense of these things together? We are better together. We are our strongest when we are not trying to figure it out on our own. And that's the point of what I would like to kind of say to you today. That as we face the weariness and the threat and the exhaustion of the conflict and mess that our world is in, as we long for joy, we do it best when we do that in community, in connection with each other. Our connections with each other are a gift from God and help carry us forward in who we are and who we can be. Now, the alternative is, "Oh, I got this. I'm good. I'll take care of myself. I pulled up my own bootstraps." Have you ever pulled bootstraps? Not fun. It's like wearing shoes that are too tight. "I got this. No, I'm good." That's not what the Lord intends. That's not what Mary and Elizabeth do. And really, where we are now, we cannot do this on our own. We need each other. You know, splitting, dividing, separating ourselves out, kind of like doing it on our own, is not the will of God. It's not the intention of who we are supposed to be. And you see that run its way through the scriptures. In fact, you see that running its way through life. There is an epidemic of isolation and loneliness. You may have heard about this. It's been part of our public conversation for quite some time. The physical consequences of poor connections, not just the psychological consequences, but the physical consequences of poor connections can be devastating. There is a 29% increased risk of heart disease when you are in the category of being lonely. When you are separated out, disconnected from other people, there is a 32% increased risk of stroke. And this next one is remarkable, a 50% increased risk of developing dementia as older adults, as we live an isolated and lonely life. Think about your own life now and the trajectory that it is on. Think about the lives of the people that are around you, maybe family members, maybe neighbors. How connected or disconnected are they? And watch this play out over time, or do we want to wait? Now, it's not me just saying this. The Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. Murthy, has recently talked about this publicly. You know, there is a, a, you know, a campaign, an identified need to help people kind of return to connectedness. But Billy Graham has been talking, Billy Graham, you remember Billy Graham, right? Billy Graham has been talking about this for 40 years. Is this the way? You see the slide there. You see the multiple hands of different forms and color. Beautiful hands working together kind of to push in to contribute. I mean, each one of those cogs makes an impact, but not by themselves. If you were to put that into a machine, one cog would not do it, right? And here you see a vision of God's kingdom. Look, Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. Do you remember this? Lincoln quoted him in saying that, a house divided cannot stand, and it is the truth that was so commonly understood at Jesus's time. He's using that as a metaphor for something else. You cannot live your life completely disconnected. The Apostle Paul, writing to people who are people of faith, had this to say and encourages us to pitch in together, to work through this connection. From Ephesians chapter 2, he writes, Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one new person out of two groups, making peace. He reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility of God. And then later, in chapter 4, he goes on to say, and say to us now, conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body, one Spirit, just as God called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We have to not disconnect from each other. We are better together. Now, at this point, the Baptist would be saying, amen. Not that I want to make you Baptist. But I want you to hear that we cannot tear each other apart. Inside of churches, there are all kinds of different groups. Have you noticed this? You probably don't have this. But inside lots of churches, there are, in fact, over time, over millennia, there is this impulse to put people over here and put people over there. Oh, we don't like those people because they believe this. They think that. And they did not show up for the potluck. Or some version in the other direction. In fact, oftentimes it's multitudes of that. There's different constituencies that part of that. I have to tell you that the Lord God Almighty did not create us to do that. One body. Paul will go on and write about this in a different place. You know, it's like we are a literal body and you need all the parts. You need all your parts. Have you tried to live without some of your parts? Right? I mean, the appendix is questionable. But kick out a knee. Get rid of your armpits. What are we doing? We need each other. We need the people that are in our circle, but we also need the people that are outside of our circle, or how we would understand that circle. Jesus had an interesting thing about circles. Who is my neighbor? One guy came up and asked, who is my neighbor? Do I have to kind of like consider these people my neighbor? And Jesus said, you throw that circle way big. We need each other. If we are to continue on as a church, if we are to continue on as a community, if we are to continue on as a civilization, we cannot get lost in our exclusions. We can have differences of opinion. We can have different points of view. We can have different lives. Yes. But it was not the intention of God to say, you're out. Is that Jesus? You're out. So my advice, your homework today, is to think about those connections that you have within your life. Who is it that you need to be with to help you through the weariness that is in front of you? Who is it that can help? And who needs you? I can tell you your church needs you for sure. And I ask that question to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.